And I'm David Green with the story of an unexpected side effect. Laws are designed to prevent elephant poaching in Africa. They ban selling elephant ivory. And they're having an effect in Alaska. Turns out the federal and state bans on elephant ivory are also damaging the market for walrus ivory, which is not illegal. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, hunters and artists expect sales to drop even lower.
Among the dozens of tables at a recent craft fair in Fairbanks, the glitter and gleam of Dennis Pongawi's ivory stands out. He's got everything from small sculptures of birds to curved cribbage boards etched into tusks.
I'm more well known for my walruses, though. These bigger ones are from a 10-pound tusk, and I only get maybe two or three of those tusks a year.
Walruses are not an endangered species, and under federal rules, Alaskan natives are entitled to hunt them and sell stuff like whiskers, bones, and ivory. Pongawi's family is from Savunga, a community of about 700 people on St. Lawrence Island in between Alaska and Russia. The primary reason for the hunt is food, but the sale of tusks and carvings helps bring in cash.
We've taken a pretty big hit on this elephant ivory ban. People are getting mistaken with it, with walrus ivory, because they're not explaining and getting it out there.
Since the summer, Pongawi says federal and state regulations cracking down on the domestic market for elephant ivory have caused people to think all ivory is illegal.
I'm down probably a good 40%. This show here is what I'm banking on to help get me through the winter.
Ivory isn't controversial here. It's common as jewelry or decoration in homes. People know it comes from locally hunted walruses. But carvers depend on tourists and art dealers from the lower 48 buying goods. Melanie Banky is president of a nonprofit in the Bering Strait region where a lot of residents pay for essential goods like clothing and heating oil with ivory sales. She arranged a craft fair this summer when a luxury cruise ship docked in Nome, but nobody bought anything.
Once they realized that something was made out of ivory, you could tell that there was almost a disdain, a look of disdain.
And tightening state regulations in California, Hawaii, New York, and New Jersey made a drop in demand. Banky says Alaska ivory isn't making it to market, an effect she and others worry could be devastating to rural communities like Savunga.
It can be a huge part of a family's income, whether it's an $80 carving or an $8,000 carving. When our communities are already living below poverty, that's a big source of income for our people.
I think most people have tried to make it pretty specific to elephant ivory, but I think the messaging has maybe been conflated.
Ellie Pepper works for the Natural Resources Defense Council and helped lobby state legislatures on their recent ivory bans. When I asked if it was possible to stamp out demand for elephant products without harming the livelihoods of walrus hunters in Alaska, she said it's tricky.
We respect the rights of Native Alaskans to use wildlife for subsistence purposes. And, you know, these bills were not intended to obstruct that.
There's no quick and accurate scientific test to distinguish elephant from walrus ivory. And even if there were, many in Alaska are scared it may be too late to undo misperceptions. At his craft fair table in Fairbanks, Dennis Pongawi says it's a tragedy that conservation of elephants is jeopardizing the tradition and livelihoods of Alaskan natives.
The locals, Alaskans, they know that it's legal, but it's just a horrible, horrible thing.
Pongawi says now he'll have to focus more on private commissions to make a living. For NPR News, I'm Zachariah Hughes in Fairbanks.